Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Started out as like one of the biggest recruits in the country. I want to say to Florida maybe, and if I get that wrong, somebody can correct me, but he was trying to secure a very big NIL bag, and his story was fraught with bad actors and dishonest pitches to him, and you can look him up. He hasn't done like hardly anything in college football, and it's been this star-crossed journey of a guy who I think was trying to leverage his abilities, and it didn't go well. Jaden Rashada, here it is. Arizona State, Georgia. He's only actually played 1 year of college football.
I think a lot of people are rooting against this kid. I'm not now hoping he goes to UCLA and fails. I do feel like, though, he made a very short-sighted, poor decision.
A lot of people are saying the dad in there is the one really driving
the
bus.
Yeah, I've seen tweets to that effect, too.
Like somebody, which is believable, by the way, in this situation.
Somebody said he's LeVar Ball without the personality. I think it's like one of the very, very like...
It's believable in this case to
not
me that
cutting
the dad,
takes I saw, like
that the
just
dad could
killing
be
the guy.
The main problem here.
But I feel like it's a short-sighted decision because Tennessee's pumped out quarterbacks, Joe Milton, Hendon Hooker. They win, they score points. The kid was good there last year, good enough where they went to the playoff. And okay, like you're gonna make $2 million there. Plus, I mean, you were saying he's one of the guys that you would consider for the Steelers in the 2026 draft. He's at least on the radar. Now he's going to a much worse situation for what? I mean, even if it is a little raise, you go from $2 million, let's say, to $3 million, but there is a chance you don't play as well and it hurts your draft stock in the long run. That's not smart.
Short-sighted play.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Pitt fans wanted that to be the case with Addison, but, I mean, it was USC and Caleb Williams and... you know, high-powered offense and Lincoln Riley and stuff. Like, that actually helped his draft stock
okay. When
it was all said and done. I do think some of these guys have to weigh the cost-benefit of, okay, if I'm good enough to get drafted, is it better for me to stay on a team where I know the offense, I know the coach, I know the coordinator, I know the quarterback, versus taking more money and starting over again, and who knows...
It's a weird situation because if you're at a big school where you're a big time recruit and you would want to jump, it's hard to fathom. Let me put it this way. It's hard to imagine a highly touted, well compensated player on an NIL deal at a major school like Tennessee's a big time school in the SEC wanting to go elsewhere for any reason other than chasing a bag. Like, are you going to get a better situation? That's kind of what you're saying. You might get more money. Are you really getting a better situation?
You're not going to get a better
if
situation.
If you're good enough to have been recruited to that school and they wanted to pay you a good amount of money to be their quarterback, that's probably the best place for you.
Like, I guess if Ohio State said after Howard left, instead of going with their freshman or whatever quarterback there, we're going to just bring in another grad transfer and we're going to pay him $5 million and we always have great receivers. And Ryan Day, even though the offensive coordinator left, so be it. But it didn't sound like that opportunity was out there. I swear to God, I believe this, and I'm not saying this is some like fuddy-duddy who believes that college football was better when these guys were amateurs and they were students first and they cared about all those things more than they do today. If Pitt had actually fundraised the money, Doug Whaley is the GM there, as we now know. If that had happened and they could have brought this kid in from Tennessee for $4 million, I honestly would not have been a fan of it. Like, if,
based on what?
If Coward had tweeted out breaking news, Nico
Imeliva,
joining the Pitt football program.
Not happy.
I would not be happy about it. Because even though he looked pretty bad at the tail end of last year, I'd still rather give Holstein another shot and see what he can do as an Alabama transfer.
How long would it take Imeliva if he was at Pitt? How many good games before you'd be like, you know what? They start 4-5-0 and he looks awesome. Then what?
Well, a bunch of those games are against FCS and non-Power 5 schools, right? So I guess they started off 6-0 last year.
7-0.
7-0, my bad. So, I mean, that taught us not to... I mean, people were tweeting things like, Dave Portnoy is going to offer Eli Holstein $10 million to leave Pitt and go to Michigan last October. Those are real things out there. So it would take me more than just a handful of games to start saying that. Actually, probably wouldn't, but it would just be emotional rash.
You just ultimately would not be for this because...
I'm not convinced this guy is that much better than what Pitt already has.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a huge fan of the message it would be sending either.
I think the problem...
It sounds like you would be okay with it if that had come to pass.
Generally speaking, because I think what... Like, people have made the argument, oh, well, then make sure you save the same energy for coaches every time they jump.
And I usually do, by the way.
Well, I do make that argument. I think the only reason that this is so messy and that people get so frustrated is there are 132 or whatever it is, FBS coaches who can jump at any given time to a new program. When it's players, there's the pool of people that can cause upheaval within the sport like that because of NIL money is so much larger that the potential to disrupt the sport in like a very meaningful way and just make it very tough to follow almost is much greater. But I think the principle of the thing should be static across the board here. If coaches can do it, don't hate the player, hate the game, I think Crowley said.
I'm not saying like this is a blanket take
it's just,
here.
Yeah, you're saying it's this kid in particular, this situation you do not like.
Yeah. How about you, Donnie? If Coward was reporting Imeliva was coming to Pitt and not UCLA, would you be gung-ho about it?
I mean, I think it's a win for Pitt. So I don't care for the move he made, but I think it is like just that particular situation. If Pitt gets that player, I think it's a win for them.
What were his numbers last year at Tennessee? Like, am I out of my mind saying that he wouldn't be an upgrade over Holstein?
Well, Holstein finished the season so poorly.
But he also played so well that he was...
He had 19 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Come on.
And then
he was not a $4 million quarterback.
He's not really a runner. 3 touchdowns on the ground.
Did he play every game?
He played 13 games.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
That's 12 regular season games plus the ass whooping they got put on them by Ohio State.
So here's one other thing I want to look at.
What were Holstein's numbers?
Hold on. The one other thing I would say about Imeliva is he had kind of a quiet middle of the season. But I was looking to see because I was going down usually where all their non-cons would be. He played his best game, arguably, is against UTEP, and then he was good against Vanderbilt. I know Vanderbilt beat Alabama, but still, like, he did not beat really good teams with big time.
I feel even better about what I said. Holstein was 17-7 on the year, and he didn't even play the whole season.
Well, the problem with Holstein was, like, it's what time in the season did you check in on him? Did you check in when people were saying, God, how are they going to find enough money in the couch cushions to keep up with him? Holstein's a tale of two quarterbacks. The first 5 games he played, 15 touchdowns, 3 picks. The last 5 games he played, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and, like, complete non-factor back there.
Yeah, also like...
Starting with the Cal game, Eli Holstein was completely ineffective.
Yeah, but then in the Syracuse game, he had that looked like a concussion late in the game.
Well, yeah, well, you know why they were never keeping the same him out player. There, though? They were keeping him out there because he had already started to slip, and I think they were trying to get him some confidence. Yeah.
No, you're right about that. He did everything in his power to lose the Cal game, and the Cal kicker and coach decided to...
Where was the Cal kicker from? Was he a Lebo kid?
Really?
The Cal kicker was local, and...
What are you trying to say? You think he was trying to do Pitt a favor by missing those kicks?
No, but I mean, it's the second time in, well, a long time, Pitt has benefited from a local high school product missing kicks against them in a game.
Is the other kid from Plum?
Yeah.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time for our weekly chat with NFL on CBS reporter, based here in Pittsburgh, longtime AFC North expert, Aditi Kinkabwala, brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, we privately texted about this a little bit, the TJ Watt Instagram post, him putting the peace sign up. Everybody nationally has come to the same conclusion. This was not him just going through pictures on his phone and saying, I like this one. It looks nice. I think I'll post it randomly just for fun. No, there was deeper meaning to it. Your thoughts on the Steelers' current possible stalemate with their best player?
I feel so repetitive. I'm going to say the exact same thing that I said the last time that TJ Watt was in this position and he had the quote-unquote hold-in during training camp, and the sticking point at that point was how much guaranteed money the Steelers wanted to offer beyond year one. And my line then was that just because you have done business one way, just because you have always done business one way, doesn't mean that you have to keep doing business that way. It's not a good enough reason to continue doing the same thing in this era, in this generation, in this time for X particular player solely because that's the way you've always done this. So we know that there was an opportunity to actually do a deal with TJ Watt last year before Max Crosby got his money, before Myles Garrett got his money. And the Steelers have not previously done a deal with a player before the year that it's due, essentially, outside of the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. That's not a good enough rationale for me. Sometimes you have a player that is that good, that is that meaningful to your franchise, who has done everything that he possibly can and continues to do and is constantly the good soldier. I mean, TJ Watt could run his mouth at any point. What he has brought to that team, the level of professionalism, the focus that he has, even you look at the end of this past season and the points during the year where he seemed to disappear a little bit. There was absolutely no defensiveness. There was no blaming anybody else. There was only, you know what, I need to get better. I need to figure out a way to move along on the line. I need to not be so stuck in the way that I've done things before. I mean, all he did was turn it on himself and promise to recommit. This is a player that you pay for. This is a player that means that much to your culture, to your locker room, to who you want to be. It seems silly to me. It really does. And if this is now going to be this protracted deal where there are going to be hard feelings and you're going to have to listen to fans once again say that a player is not worth it. Do you guys remember this? Do you remember that training camp where fans were just so adamantly against TJ Watt and how dare he be the player to demand money in a different way than any other Steelers player has? And then do you remember what he did in that first game against Buffalo?
Yeah, he was the best player, and then Mike Tomlin said he was an alien or not from planet Earth or something like that.
Exactly. Like, come on, why do this? Why rile up your fan base? Why get your fan base to sit here and say negative things about a player that means everything to you? It doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't.
Does this make sense to you? And it's a complete subject change, so it's not related to TJ Watt. Shedeur Sanders slides, let's say, past the Saints with the 9th overall pick, and the Steelers pounce at pick 21 and draft Deion's son.
I mean, if they have that much interest in him.
Do you think that they do?
It is very, very hard for me to... Gosh, I wish that like you would sometimes send me these questions in advance so I can think about how to diplomatically phrase it.
Oh, but that I like it better like this. I like the spontaneity in the extemporaneous
how do I say
Tony has a big smirk on his face
right
now.
Because I am not the strongest believer in Mike Tomlin's assessment of quarterback play up until this point.
Welcome. You're in wonderful, kind territory on this show, Aditi.
Perhaps he will prove me wrong, but there are certain people, when they tell me certain things about quarterbacks, I just, no question, no skepticism, completely believe how they assess a quarterback or how they evaluate a quarterback or what they believe a quarterback is capable of within their system. That's just not my feelings on Mike Tomlin right now. And so do I feel that Mike Tomlin believes that Shedeur Sanders is his answer for the next 10 years? Or do I think anything is possible when Mike Tomlin is making the decision. Can I say that?
Yes, that's a great quote that makes total sense to us. I will also pivot to a new topic then. Schefter came out and said, hey, the one date that will cause some Steelers personnel to get squeamish about Rodgers not coming here is if he isn't signed by the start of OTAs on Monday, because that will mean he will have at least missed something that the team would want him to be present for. Like, hey, you know what the offense is, but we want you to get here and actually get acclimated in it, get to know your teammates, etc. So Schefter said if he's not here Monday and signed, then they might start to get cold feet or start to wonder if it's actually going to happen. Do you think that that's a plausible theory on Adam's part?
100%. And isn't this what I've been saying to you for a good month now? Everything that I know from every conversation that I've had with Aaron Rodgers, including at the end of the season, when we had extensive conversation about the Jets, his younger teammates, what he had been through in trying to help the Jets franchise the last 2 years, plus conversations that I've had with personnel people, executives, and coaches who have talked to him through this process, has been that Aaron Rodgers may not necessarily have the appetite for an off-season program and having to marshal through a new culture, help new teammates, help young teammates, push people along. I've said this to you for quite some time. The Vikings were so appealing because in his mind and in many people's minds, that's a team that's ready to make a run at the Super Bowl. It is in a completely professional outfit that just got significantly better on both sides of the line, that is playing outstanding defense, that has a lot of superstar power, and that already has a really strong leadership base in that locker room. That's a team that Aaron Rodgers could slide into and, in theory, take them to the Super Bowl. The Vikings have made the decision we're going to ride with our young guy, J.J. McCarthy, for now. So as this was put to me by somebody who's had more recent conversations with Aaron Rodgers, an NFL person who's had more recent conversations than I've had, there are a lot of people that are not convinced, or there are a lot of people that feel Aaron Rodgers is more likely to retire. Is definitely, let me say it this way, Aaron Rodgers is more likely to retire than he is to come to a team that he doesn't believe is a Super Bowl contender. He's had a great career. It's a Hall of Fame career. He's made plenty of money. He's 41 years old. He's got tons of other interests. He's a voracious reader, as I've told you. He's curious about the world. Seriously.
No, I know.
Does he want to, at the age of 41, having already made $400-500 million, does he want to once again come into a locker room where he has to help remake the locker room, where he has to be the leader, where he has to push young guys along, where he has to tell guys, hey, this is the difference between being a Hall of Fame receiver and being a one-trick wonder or a one-trick pony? Does he really have the appetite for that?
I mean, when you put it that way, you make it sound like you don't think he's going to come here. That's how I take that. That's how I feel, having heard you say all that. And I trust your reporting. Hearing you say that makes me think he's not going to sign here and he's going to retire or wait for something better.
Unless you think that in the next little bit, the Steelers, that Aaron Rodgers is convinced that the Steelers are actually a Super Bowl contender and that this locker room, this offense, doesn't need as much care and feeding and as much leadership.
But what would change his mind if he didn't?
Oh, yeah, drafting Shedeur Sanders is really going to jumpstart that.
Didi, yeah, other than the draft where you're Aaron Rodgers would be projecting based on it, they picked a guy that he thinks is going to be a good pro. Like, what would change his mind now? He's had a lot of time to consider what he thinks of the franchise. I just don't see a guy like that going, you know, maybe I need to reconsider my notes here and come back to this again.
I think you're hearing the same thing. You know, Cam Hayward backtracked on this and, you know, once again, just like me, is so careful to be diplomatic and cleaned it up. We heard Ryan Clark say this. If Aaron Rodgers was all in on the Steelers, if Aaron Rodgers said, you know what, that's a place that I'm going to go help reestablish an offensive identity, reestablish leadership on offense, change some of the culture around what we've seen from the wide receiver group, take them to the next level, why would it not have already happened?
Roethlisberger said that.
I agree with
you. And
Chris
said, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Ben Roethlisberger. How about
that
for strange bedfellows?
Since his retirement.
All right.
Wait, you're telling me that you, me, and Ben Roethlisberger are all saying essentially the same thing?
I think that's the start of one of those walk into a bar jokes, honestly.
Isn't it?
Aditi, sorry,
I mean,
if,
again,
sorry if this interview sucked.
This.
We're all very sleep deprived.
We're all
because
sick.
We have kids and we're all
suck?
Sick.
Come on.
Pony and I are
you
fighting
think that
colds.
There was a lot of good stuff?
No, we think you did
we
a fine
TJ,
job.
We
I'm talking
Aaron.
More from our end.
I mean,
sucked.
Honestly, it's the DayQuil. That's why I sprang that question about Shadur on you out of nowhere without
see,
any
I've been going NyQuil.
Pre-prep.
I've stayed away from DayQuil.
You're going NyQuil during the day?
No, I do NyQuil before I go to bed.
Well, yeah, it's daytime. That's
no,
why I want DayQuil.
We should tell our listeners, it's not like you do ever actually give me advance warning. It's just when
oh,
I'm
I
sitting here
people
talking about Mike Tomlin's
on
assessment.
And it's
doesn't
purpose.
Even tell us what he wants to do on Judge Donnie, our very popular recurring segment, till 10 seconds before the thing starts.
Yeah, it makes it better. All right, Aditi, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Aaron Rodgers is more likely to retire than sign with a team that's not a Super Bowl contender.
I think she's right. I think that's an accurate take. And does he really look at the Steelers? The thing she said at the end, like, is he going to come back around to the Steelers and have a light bulb go on and say, you know what? This is really a contender.
Yes, they drafted, what's the name of that guy from Michigan State we like in the
they
seventh
drafted,
round?
Oh, they drafted Luke Newman.
They drafted Luke
Newman.
Luke
Newman's a player. He's
in
a
the
stud.
Seventh round.
Who was our guy? Which of our many draft analysts? Which of our many draft analysts when we sprang that? Was it Palazzolo?
Palazzolo loved Newman.
He was like, I'm just randomly a huge Luke Newman fan.
Because he knew the kid's coach at Holy Cross.
Right, exactly. That's what it was.
That was like a Kevin Bacon situation where somehow like there was a connection.
That was a complete shot in the dark, and I was just so pleased. I was tickled that Palazzolo knew who he was.
Well, Kaboom doubles down that it's that they have very strong hold of this whole
situation.
Well,
you want to do that in the debrief, possibly? You want to make mention of... Oh, are you talking about what we've been saying all day? That
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just put out something about if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign here, but he made sure to say very early in that they have full control. Sorry, I'm just not confident that AR2 has some ironclad deal done and it's still not on paper. The same guy who said Fields or Wilson.
Yeah, you know what theory has really... gone by the wayside, the secret deal.
I got sucked in by the secret
so did
deal
I.
theory. I did. It seemed it
See,
seemed
there
plausible.
Are, I am curious. Now, it wouldn't be it would be very flawed, but I would guarantee there was a decent percentage, maybe a third, maybe a fourth, of the people that went to that show last week, the McAfee event, and thought it was going to happen. And they are lying if there's not a single person that doesn't think it would. Bechtold thought it would.
That's Bechtold.
Oh, though. He thought when Skeens went out there and said, "We're going to bring out another legend on stage," he said he shrieked like a 9-year-old girl at a Boys to Men concert.
And to his defense,
she was like, "Ah!"
Boys to Men.
To his defense,
not a very timely reference.
To his defense, I doubt he was alone.
No, he wasn't.
There were probably multiple times. I mean, I remember he had all the Pittsburgh legends out on the stage. At first, McAfee said something about, well, Ben, somebody needs to help you throw these footballs.
Yep.
I bet that was the first buzzer that went off.
Oh, that would have honestly sent the buzzer off for me. I'd have been like, uh-oh, here
and
we go.
And then Skeen said, well, I know there's going to be one other.
Yeah, all of it was building towards it.
Debrief time brought to you by Saloni's Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donnie Football's football segment. Many are asking about Donnie's experience at dinner last night with Starkey. Donnie won a football trivia bet with Joe, and so he was treated to a very expensive 5-star dinner last night that involved him posting a picture of just a gigantic... Did you post the picture on Twitter, or did you just send it to us?
I put it on Twitter. The prime rib.
Yeah.
Or the ribeye.
No,
that
ribeye.
Looked amazing.
It looked awesome. How was it?
It was really good.
How did Bechtold do? That's what I want to know.
I was proud of him.
Our guy Johnny the Barber is texting me things like, did Austin ask for crayons? Was he asking for chicken tendies?
Did he get a toy with his food?
I was actually proud of Limits. He
looked like he was dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
well-dressed.
Yeah, we were all dressed well.
Looked like he was in a Brooks Brothers ad, if I'm being honest.
He went with the New York strip.
Oh, good job.
I believe he also did medium rare, which is very well done.
Again,
did Starkey get his steak well done?
I bet you he got it medium well.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't think he would go well done.
I got medium rare. It looked like Austin also got medium rare.
Okay.
And I guess I could have confused people there by saying well done. No, he got medium rare, but it was a job well done by Austin.
Yep.
How did you have room for dessert?
Yeah.
Did you do the peach cobbler?
No, it wasn't even on their menu.
Then why did he recommend it?
I don't know.
How was Austin?
Went with the New York cheesecake.
How was Austin? Wow. That's a great pick. How was Austin the conversationalist?
Good. Good.
Did you guys talk sports or talk life?
A little bit of both.
Did we come up?
Not a ton.
That makes me think it wasn't an overwhelmingly positive conversation about either one of us, but that's okay.
No, I'm not saying that.
I have this.
I would say there were a few concerns about text messages. This doesn't really apply to Malzy, but they both happen to bring up like, yeah, I'll text Pony something, hoping that he holds it in confidence. Then there it is, right out there.
That's
on
your
the
first
air.
Mistake.
I said, yeah, and I said he was. Like noticeably offended because I told Malzy first about my engagement and he wondered why.
Yep.
Well, I'm able to separate what would be good show content from what's
I don't think you always
real life
are.
Fodder.
Well, I don't think that's always
speaking
the case.
Of phones, because Malzy is such now a stickler on this. Were the phones out or were the phones in the pocket the whole time during dinner at such a high end place? I hope you guys didn't use phones to keep up with the Pirates game or look up something sports related.
Pony had that phone right on his water glass.
Yeah, so after meal was done, phones were out a little bit more because Joe did check in on the Pirate game, and then we had the fun of looking back at some Pirates lineups in 2020 and 2021.
Oh, you guys were getting after it.
And
then
Joe was howling at some points in the middle of the restaurant. About
did he
how,
do that big like belly laugh where he leans back and he really like gets his money's worth?
About how the lineups then actually may have an argument over the ones today.
Well, Donnie, they're like one of the historically worst teams in baseball through this many games, Team OPS.
I think it was an amazing job by Joe. I think he, whatever he paid for that bill, he made it back tenfold in the amount of street cred and the amount and the way that people view him, because it was such a magnanimous, even though he lost a bet, to not welch on it.
He
such
paid
a magnanimous
his bets.
Gesture.
Oh, I respect the hell out of people who pay their bets, you know, whatever the bet may be. You well, don't pay, you make your bets and then you never pay them. Why would anyone make bets with you anymore?
Like, I never said that if I lost a bet with Donnie that I would produce for a day or a week or whatever, but I'll do it because
yeah, you're not going to have to do that. I can tell that one's going to get shoved in the dustbin.
You know, like, I want to follow through and carry out bets. Crowley was supposed to walk across the Clemente Bridge in a thong bikini. And, like, I thought he was definitely... Adam strikes me as, like, zany radio guy.
Well, he shaved his head.
I mean, he did shave his head.
On that show, he's not the guy I'm worried about not paying off bets.
No.
Okay, but he
straight
had a
see
bet...
that West Virginia tattoo?
He had a bet that would have produced, like, a viral moment on social media and for our website. It would have been Craig's favorite content with a C thing for him to do something like that. And he has welched on it. So, yes, Doran has done it more frequently. I agree. But here's one where Crowley, unlike Joe, is not a man of his word whatsoever on things.
Yeah.
And when you go and like when you make yourself the butt of the jokes or when you say like, yeah, I'll do this and I'll like pay for someone's dinner and you post it and people are like, way to go, Joe. Look at these guys having a great time. This is awesome. This is neat. This is fun.
Donnie,
it's worth it.
Donnie, just as a sidebar, I just pulled up. I picked a random date in the 2020 season and checked the Pirates lineup. This day in Pirates history, they got blanked by Shane Bieber 2-0. He beat Mayamo Trevor in that game. Here is the lineup. Eric Gonzalez, Kevin Newman, Josh Bell, okay. Colin Moran, don't you know. Jose Osuna, JT Riddle.
Man.
What year is this?
2020. The legend that was Cole Tucker. Gerard Dyson, how could we forget him? And Stallings. Pinch hitters used by the Pirates, Adam Frazier, Brian Reynolds, John Ryan Murphy. Here are the batting averages. Gonzalez inexplicably came into that game hitting 308.
Yeah, he was like red hot.
Kevin Newman was hitting 292. Bell was hitting 200. Moran, 208. And then I'm just going to go down the line. Frazier, 171. Osuna, 154. Big JT Riddle, 143. Brian Reynolds, 174. Cole Tucker, practically a career high, 200. Gerard Dyson, 133.
Pretty close.
John Ryan Murphy, 167.
Yeah, that one's a little bit worse, but that team also was bad enough where it finished with the worst record in baseball and got the number one pick, which Which what did what did it net the Pirates? Good old Henry Davis, who by the way got his average over 154 last night.
Yeah. Oliver Perez was relieving for those Indians. Or the yeah, that was the Indians.
Man, one
then.
Of my favorites.
What do you got in the football debrief here, Donnie? Anything
the debrief.
Else?
April 16, 2025. All I wanted to discuss, I put a poll out there on Twitter earlier since we were, as usual, watching one of the old NFL drafts in the back. Which format people prefer? The old two-day format when it was Saturday and Sunday or the three-day Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Not even a question for me. The new way is much, much, much better. Way better.
I would agree with
two-day
that.
Two-day format winning right now.
Here's the thing. The old way ate up an entire Saturday. You basically had to, cancel your schedule. Can't go play golf if you're Malzy. Can't do anything else. That whole day is completely shot. Then, for our purposes, you're 2 days removed. By the time you get on the air Monday, people have already thought of what are you smiling about over there?
I don't know, because it says like that has that Discover More thing under a tweet, and it'll be another Donnie tweet. And it's just him 7 hours ago giving his little like TV clip, take a first round quarterback or sit and wait. And it's just Mr. Professional looking Donnie with his blazer, his black shirt, his well coiffed beard.
You like that new combo?
It is a good looking combo. And then you've got your hands. You look very
Our
natural.
Our kid's all grown up, man.
You look very natural. You honestly look more polished than I do.
You know what I feel like right now? I feel like when kid goes away to college,
comes back a different
person. And then
person.
Comes back and like. You know he's destined for big things. He's going to start a big job, but he's still living at home for a few more months. That's what we've got with Donnie. Like Donnie's about to go start a job at Goldman Sachs or something. And he's just biding his time for a few more weeks or months with us before he flies the coop.
What would be the sports radio equivalent of Goldman Sachs?
McAfee. Yeah, Kabali's going to get him into the McAfee orbit. He's going to replace that Barry Zito, whatever the hell the guy's name
I'll
is, or somebody
at home
like
for
that.
15 more years.
If McAfee's show is Goldman Sachs, is Kabali like the equivalent of Milton in Office Space? They move him to the basement, take his stapler
what
away.
What if they? Here's something that just popped in my head. What if just like we see with college sports, where guys get named coach in waiting? What if Donnie got named host in waiting for when Pompeiani like retires and leaves?
Wow,
the midday show. Like they put out a press.
I mean, you would probably feel good about that. You just would produce this show knowing you were host and waiting.
Yeah, but how long does he have to wait?
Are they even allowed to do that, though?
No, of course not.
They have, like EOE, like you have to give people a chance to apply for a job.
But wait a minute, then
open.
how are like public
NFL teams are privately owned?
No, but colleges do it. Creighton's
and that's a public university.
Creighton just did that, and they named a guy coach in waiting behind McDermott.
Creighton's a public university, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
If it's a public, if they're an employee of the state, I don't know how you do that. Actually, if it's a private school, you can get
away
with it.
Big press release: Donnie Football named host in waiting.
It's got a picture of him like pointing at the camera.
It happens in 2047.
Jeez. Would me and Pony still be here in 2047, 22 years from now, 62-year-old Mulsey?
Unless he wants to go somewhere else.
What'll I be doing?
Nice retired life.
At 62 years old?
Yeah, you'd get it done early.
Oh, God, I'd love it if you're right with that. Oh, yeah. I was talking to my dad about money management.
Well, you were telling us all about all these great high yield.
I got in on it late, Pony. I got in on it way late.
Well, at least you're in. Donnie and I over here, we're not in.
Oh, you're not.
My retirement's making sure the Mets-Twins game went under today, which thank God it did.
I still love that you got your college gift in cash and put
and
it all
it
on just truly one of the worst bets I've ever.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.